This week on The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
What we've done is take biomimicry to the system level to take one tree and multiple trees and create the urban forest.
I'm Neil Harvey. Our guest this week will be Tree People founder Andy Lipkus. It's Upscaling Goodness, Tree Huggers, Earth Acupuncture, and Community Forests on The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature. When you're stepping on stones to cross a big river, often you can't see the next step till it comes. That's kind of the way Andy Lipkus felt as he navigated his journey to help transform Los Angeles from a poster child of environmental degradation to a lighthouse of environmental restoration. Lipkus virtually invented the citizen forestry movement. Through his nonprofit organization, Tree People, he's mobilized tens of thousands of passionate volunteers who've planted millions of trees to regreen his hometown of L.A. But that was Tree People 1.0. Starting about 2002, the group upped the ante on its mission. The new operating principle, manage the city as a living ecosystem. It meant working across multiple disparate government agencies and in concert with entire communities, taking collaboration to a whole new level. As it turns out, Los Angeles may be the most exciting large-scale attempt ever to green a major urban area. Join us for Upscaling Goodness, Tree Huggers, Earth Acupuncture, and Community Forests with Andy Lipkus, founder of Tree People. My name is Neil Harvey. I'll be your host. Welcome to The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature. For Andy Lipkus, the journey has been very personal. Sent to summer camp as a teenager to escape what was then lung-searing smog, he planted his first tree in the mountains above Los Angeles. He then learned that that same smog would kill this beautiful forest in 30 years. But not if he could do anything about it. His inspiration, commitment, and vision soon led others to repeat his seemingly small act millions of times in the neighborhoods of Los Angeles. But how do Angelenos come to see themselves as integral parts of the living ecosystem of their city? Andy Lipkus spoke at a recent Bioneers conference.
We think we've got to wait for leaders or government to take action and lead. The belief that we're, or I'm not ready. I'm not prepared, strong enough, big enough, smart enough, pure enough, important enough. I'm certainly not powerful enough or legitimate enough to begin the work. We don't want to be called do-gooders. And you know, it's actually pretty tough to be called a tree hugger, even though I am. There's one other assumption that really trips us up. I heard this myth, and it shook me. The one species the Earth can do happily without is us. What if that wasn't true? What if, instead of the fact that we're just here to consume and destroy, what if the Earth has adapted us to be its healer? What if it provides us with the energy, the passion, the compassion, the creativity, the brilliance? What if?
What does Earth healing look like in the City of Angels? Let's just say it didn't start in Beverly Hills. It sprouted in the inner city neighborhood of South Central on Martin Luther King Boulevard.
This is King Boulevard in Los Angeles, Martin Luther King Boulevard, back 20 years ago. It was meant to be a huge monument to Dr. King and his dream. It ran right through South Los Angeles, South Central Los Angeles. Not a pretty place, not such a great honor. Eudora Russell, one of our volunteers, retired school teacher, wanted to green a piece of that community. So she got trained in how to bring her neighbors together, how to raise some money, how to work with government to get permits. She planted 20 trees, kept them alive, involved the gang kids who got to smash the concrete, express their power, express their anger, and transform it. Those trees lived. And then she really dreamed. She looked at the boulevard and she said, this should be a green monument to the hope. She went to the city of Los Angeles and said, Can we turn this 7 miles into something beautiful? And they said, yeah, it would be great. It'll take 10 years, at least $10 million, and we don't have any money. But let's see what we can do. She came back to me and said, they said 10 years. We can't wait. I said, no, you can't. Let's do it in a day.
What a difference a day makes. Thousands of volunteers planted the trees on Dr. King's birthday. 10 years later, the trees are still alive, long past the 7-year average urban tree lifespan. Why? Because tree people help the community bust 2 big myths. People don't care, and nothing will change. Another community in a different part of Los Angeles soon busted those same myths.
Now, this was a neighborhood of really urban impacted. The homes were behind warehouses, sometimes upstairs. The families were quite poor. It took them 7 months each, setting aside $5 per month per family, to raise the $35 to buy the one tree for in front of where they lived. And so they worked hard. They shared a vision. They had community meetings. They got people together, their families, their kids. We came out, the kids were there, and first we gave them the sledgehammers to smash the concrete. In many urban neighborhoods, the kids are gang members. That's what's available as recreation. And because that's family, that was their way of expressing power. Well, instead of painting graffiti and doing what they had done all over, when we gave them the sledgehammer, they got to use their energy to smash the concrete and take it out. And they put in the trees. And in one day, they saw that their power was so much greater, the power that they were trying to say to the world that they had with their graffiti. They saw a change overnight on their street. They experienced that connectivity of family that they were getting from the gang membership, but this was so much richer because, first of all that energy from nature, all that energy from the whole community coming together, and they were tapping into this energy. They felt good. They were respected. All the things they were seeking and could only see were only being offered through urban mythology, through the negative path. They got it so much stronger through this positive one. Well, we were done with the tree planting, and they had more energy. So they decided to plant flowers in the tree wells all around the trees. And then they looked at the graffiti-covered walls right behind the trees, and they painted it out. Then, when they understood that the trees wouldn't live unless they helped protect them and water them, and that the city couldn't get to them to water them, they built their own water truck by strapping 2 55-gallon drums on a trailer, and they could pull it around the community, and they watered the trees. They kept them alive. And then they wanted to do more. We took them to the beach that was 7 miles away. I don't believe any of them had been to the beach in their life. We took them to the mountains to meet the forest that was a couple hours away. And that glue that cemented the community, they then actually formed a neighborhood watch. They formed a daycare center. This area, classic environmental justice zone, a neighborhood between 5 freeways. They gave themselves a name that they didn't have before. They called themselves Five Points. And from there, more things happened because we were involved, and I'm one of the founders of the LA Conservation Corps, and they were willing to sort of be a magnet to bring something new to the neighborhood. We found a vacant fire station right in their community, and that became the headquarters, the first headquarters for the Conservation Corps, which became an employment center for the community. So rather than a cascade of negativity, this gelling of community energy began an upscaling of goodness.
The Five Points Project was a giant stepping stone across the uncharted rushing river of environmental restoration and community revitalization. Along the way, tree people created a curriculum called Schoolyard Explorers that turns kids into watershed managers. It's proven that kids can lead. Today, hundreds of thousands of students have been involved. How did they bust the myth that kids don't have power?
Los Angeles needed to start recycling. It had filled all its landfills, filled all its canyons with trash, filled its Coliseum every 2 weeks with all the trash that we made. That's how much we were making. We ran out of space. The city couldn't build incinerators, so it decided it had to try recycling. It knew that it wouldn't work. It was making plans to build a trash train to the desert. Kid you not, they're still on the books. It knew it wouldn't work because people wouldn't recycle. Conventional wisdom on all public works managers and policy people is people won't change. People will not recycle. They will not change their lives. Most of the programs that had tried recycling in the country were only getting 10% public participation. But the city said, well, we'll do it. We'll show we tried, and then we'll go build the train. We said, tree people educates kids and empowers them, gives them, we tell them that they're managers of the urban ecosystem. Teach them about trees, but trees recycle, so they can easily learn the lesson about recycling. We offered to expand our program to reach a critical mass of the youth population in Los Angeles. There were 600,000 kids in LA schools at the time. The city said, go for it. We expanded our environmental education program to reach 250,000 kids in 2 years. So we reached critical mass. Those kids reached the 600,000. They translated our message that we delivered in Spanish and English and four other languages, Chinese, Tagalog, Mandarin. They translated the 80 languages spoken throughout LA Unified Schools that no public official could do. They then took it home, dumped trash on the floor, and taught their families how to recycle. We got complaints. Parents called teachers, teachers called the city saying, the kids are making us recycle, make them stop. City called us and said, they're complaining, keep it up. The program rolled out 2 years later. The proof was in the pudding. 90% of the people in Los Angeles picked up and started recycling. It was the kids who did it.
Cities like Los Angeles were built before people understood ecology. Lipkis overlaid a map of the original Los Angeles chaparral and oak woodland forest and underlying watershed with the city's current physical reality. It was nakedly obvious how the fractured environment was just a mirror of the fragmented city bureaucracy. Using a whole systems approach that brought disparate departments and stakeholders together, Lipkis demonstrated how to avoid huge amounts of waste, save money, and dramatically improve the quality of life and the environment. It's called solving for pattern. One solution solves multiple problems all at once. Andy Lipkis is being recognized for his huge successes in the second largest urban center in the United States. He and his wife, Kate, were named to the UN Environment Program's Global 500 Honor Roll. He was recently inducted as an Ashoka Fellow in recognition of his track record of finding and scaling up solutions to society's most pressing problems. But Andy Lipkis is just getting going. When we return, can trees perform earth acupuncture? And did nature design people to be her healers? This is Upscaling Goodness, Tree Huggers, Earth Acupuncture, and Community Forests. I'm Neil Harvey. You're listening to The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
Bioneers Radio is made possible in part by John Masters Organics. Feel good about looking good. Learn more at johnmasters.com.
To explore more Bioneers Radio shows and conference videos for free, visit bioneers.org. Andy Lipkis catalyzed an urban restoration process that has led to far greater understanding of how to manage cities as part of a living ecosystem. Climate change is already up close and personal in LA. The city recognizes that heightened disaster preparedness now needs to be a permanent state of affairs. It all began with planting a tree.
I want to invite an oak tree in to join us. And I want you to picture a large oak tree, 100 feet in diameter, the canopy. 100 feet, it's covering all of us. What's under the tree, what falls out of the tree, is leaves, twigs. Those things fall on the ground and they start to break down. They make mulch. Then they make humus. I almost said hummus. They do that too. And then they make highly mineralized soil. They make habitat for critters, snakes, rodents that dig and drill, bugs that chew, microscopic organisms and fungi all work together as an amazing community. They're living in this space under the tree. If you can look around the room and imagine that we're all here right now with an old, old oak that's protecting us and shading us. That space I was talking about with all that soil, 5 feet deep, forms what's a tank and a treatment plant. That tank has the capacity to capture and treat 57,000 gallons of water in a 12-inch flash flood. It's huge. The water is cleaned and sent to the aquifer, recharging our water supplies. That's always been nature's water treatment plant for the planet. Take the tree out, and what do you get? A flood. We send from one tree, one huge tree, 57,000 gallons of water downstream, taking with it the soil, taking with it the nutrients, taking with it pollution, hemorrhaging water we all so badly need, especially if we live in the West, creating a huge, huge problem. That hemorrhage of cash, hemorrhage of water, hemorrhage of jobs. So how do we fix it? We invite the trees to partner with us and start biomimicking what a tree used to do, what trees need to do, and are still trying to do when they're busting up the concrete so they can get the water to the roots. What we've done is take biomimicry to the system level to take one tree and multiple trees and create the urban forest.
Using biomimicry, imitating how nature does it. Lipkis proposes that trees are good medicine for both people and planet. It's all about keeping the energy flowing.
The whole purpose of an acupuncture needle is to remove the blockage of the flow of energy to an organ, either the flow of energy to it or the removal of waste energy from it. So anytime you've got energy blocked, you have disease. And that's exactly what's happening in communities. And so not only was the tree providing healing because of its specific functionality, in a much more important way that is so vital as we begin in communities, especially urban areas, to respond to the real threats of climate change. Our communities need to respond quickly. And this metaphor of the tree as the acupuncture needle to open up the connection with neighbors, with the city, so people can respond quickly, it's such an apt metaphor.
For over 15 years, Lipkis has worked in partnership with agencies like LA County and City Public Works and the Los Angeles and San Gabriel Rivers Watershed Council to demonstrate how the natural healing power of trees has progressively protected an 80,000-person San Fernando Valley neighborhood from seasonal flooding polluted with toxic runoff. The partnership brought environmental justice and water security to a low-income Latino neighborhood in the Sun Valley watershed. Think of it as Tree People 2.0.
This project deployed two strategies. One, we had to capture all the floodwater that was coming from the 40 acres above and put the equivalent of a biomimicked massive tree root system right down the middle of that street. So the street got ripped up, and what's called an infiltration gallery, technically, is two huge perforated pipes, 3-4 feet each in diameter, run the entire length of the street. And surrounded by gravel, and this is very permeable soil in this neighborhood. And so the floodwaters got picked up and sent into that drain and soaked straight on into the aquifer. That was great. But we also worked with all the residents on that street, and 55% of them volunteered their own homes to be changed. So from the front door all the way to the public land at the sidewalk or the street curb, got completely redone as a rainwater harvesting rain garden. People put in rain barrels, they put in swales, rain chains, and drought-tolerant, native, climate-appropriate plants. So their front lawns could capture all the runoff. Or if they didn't want to do that, we put a driveway drain across the bottom of their driveway. And when it's raining, you have a creek on both sides of the street, so it's really beautiful. So this whole beautiful creek-like setting is now protecting the water quality, protecting the street from flooding. The people who hadn't chosen to do it when we were having the neighborhood meetings, before the project was finished, when they saw how beautiful the yards were, they all wanted it. The dynamics of this are really important. First of all, people did what government thought they wouldn't do. They volunteered to change their own land in cooperation to be part of the ecosystem. And so it is one amazing system. Nature is reconnected, and the government agencies, and very unusual partnership with them and the nonprofits, and especially the people. And so the potential of that project is huge, because that water is extremely valuable as it goes back to the aquifer. Preventing the floods is extremely valuable. Preventing the pollution of the river downstream and the fines that the city has to pay for a polluted river and beaches, all of that is either saving money or generating money. All of that can pay for the kinds of green jobs, blue-green jobs, that are right there in the neighborhood. That model that extends this tree as water catcher, filter, saver, out to the tree connected with other trees and other land that becomes a functioning watershed, or what we call a functioning community forest, which is functioning forest, functioning community, knit together. You could picture rolling that out to the entire city and the entire region.
The Sun Valley Watershed Project led the LA County Flood Control and Stormwater Protection Divisions to remodel their missions to fully embrace the concept of watershed protection.
In the 40 years that I've been doing this work, I've noticed and I've come to believe that nature has in fact adapted us to be its healers. And it's raised us from being infants that were helpless to being brilliant, powerful beings, compassionate beings. We now find ourselves, kids and all of us, in the sandwich generation. We got to take care of the mom, Earth, because she has given us everything to raise us to this point. Not so we can kill ourselves. And we got the next generations, 7, 10, 20 to come, if there will be those. It's in our hands, totally in our hands. Will we rise to the occasion? I hope so. What really gives me hope is this thing I've observed. And that is, I believe that every single one of us, and I've witnessed this in the disaster relief, with gang kids, with little kids, with older people, everybody has a scanner on board that's operating in our body that nature must have installed. It's our heart. And it's asking the question, where am I needed? How can I help? And when something hits your frequency, my frequency, it converts to adrenaline. Biochemical response. It might be a drip. It might be a shot. When we're given a shot of adrenaline, like when we see a car accident, it gives us the power to get out of our own car and go, if we had to, help lift a car off of the injured person. It looks like a miracle, but it's nature's gift to us. When the ecosystem is hurting, we get the drip. We're hardwired for this. We've lost the language for it. People ask me, how could I keep doing this for 40 years without stopping? I am fed by engaging with nature and with people, with the feedback, the challenges, the creative challenges. It's all available to all of us. The love that's there can sustain us. It's what really feeds us. I want to invite you to just begin consciously asking the question, where am I needed? How can I help? Your heart will answer. You are big enough. We can do this. So take the largest living thing on the planet, a giant sequoia. It's pretty important. One of the smallest things in the world, microscopic fungus that hangs around the roots of that tree, the fungus has to hand each molecule to the root of the tree. Without the fungus, the tree can't drink, it can't live, it doesn't exist. Who's more important? No one. We're all ready. Ask the question, where am I needed? How can I help? Thank you so much.
no one has crossed this river before. But according to Andy Lipkus, we'll see the next step when it comes. Andy Lipkus, Tree People founder and president. Upscaling goodness, tree huggers, earth acupuncture, and community forests. Many more Bioneers radio programs and conference videos are available online for free at bioneers.org, where you can also find out how to attend the annual Bioneers conference and local Bioneers satellite conferences near you. Bioneers voices are heard more widely with your support. Join by visiting bioneers.org or call 1-877-BIONEER. The Bioneers Revolution from the Heart of Nature is a production of Collective Heritage Institute. Executive producer, Kenny Ossibel. Written by Catherine Stifter and Kenny Ossibel. Senior producer, Neil Harvey. Managing producer, Stephanie Welch. Production management, Aaron Leventman and Chuck Castleberry. Station relations by Creative PR. Distribution is by WFMT Radio Network. Interview recording engineer, Jeff Westman. Our theme music is taken from the album Journey Between by Baca Beyond and used by permission of Hannibal Records, a Rykodisc label. Additional music was made available by Acoustic Music at acoustic-music.de. For more music information, please visit bioneers.org. The opinions expressed in the Bioneers Revolution from the Heart of Nature radio series are those of the presenters and are not necessarily those of Collective Heritage Institute, the underwriters, or this radio station. My name is Neil Harvey. Thank you for listening. I invite you to join the Bioneers in inspiring a shift to live on Earth in ways that honor the web of life, each other, and future generations. This is program number 0411.
This program was made possible in part by Organic Valley Family of Farms, organic and family-owned since 1988. Learn more at organicvalley.coop. Also by Park Foundation, dedicated to heightening public awareness of critical issues, as well as by the generous support of listeners like you.